Turn with me this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark 10, beginning in verse 13. Let's hear the word of God. They brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing, as we're privileged once again to open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. You know, for many years now, decades in fact, there has been kind of a creed that many people have held to, especially as it regards their children. And rightly or wrongly, it goes something like this. I want them to have things better than I did. Too often, though, that sentiment is it's limited to material things, to the things of this world. Men will work long hours to see to it that their kids have all the latest gadgets, that they are involved in as many social activities as possible, that they are they have access to the best clothing so they can stay in style with their friends. Some people may interpret this better life as a life that has fewer responsibilities. You don't need to do all those chores. You got things to do. You're young. You're growing up. You don't need to be burdened with those things. While it has existed for some time longer, it was about the time of the Great Depression, or just following, that a heavy emphasis began to be placed on young people acquiring college educations. The college education, that super sheepskin, that diploma, that's supposed to be your ticket to a much easier life. Unfortunately, too often, that college education, it equates to someone having a large burden of debt and the opportunity to ask, "Do you want fries with that?" Except for in a small portion of society, not much really is given to the spiritual health of children. There's not a lot of importance placed on the need for our kids to know Jesus. That's a kind of a second thought. But the problem is that thinking has come about because there are too many parents who are themselves spiritually deficient. There is an intellectual acquaintance with Jesus, but there is no heart knowledge. There is no relationship with the Lord. And so it's hard to train up children if you yourself are lacking. This passage that we're looking at this morning is recorded in all the synoptics, Matthew has it, Luke has it. And it's at this point in Jesus' ministry that he is a popular teacher. At least he's popular with the people. Most people do not know who Jesus was in reality. To most of the people, at the very least, he was a prophet of God. He was endued with miraculous power. And then there was always this hope that this indeed was Messiah. We can hope for that. We've been waiting for that. So maybe this teacher, maybe this is finally the time. People would flock to hear Jesus teach. They wanted to hear him teach. But more so, that they wanted to be blessed. They wanted to receive a blessing from this mighty prophet of God. And what's more, it wasn't just themselves. They wanted their families to share in the blessing. And those families included all the way down to the very youngest in the home. Scripture says, they brought little children to him that he might touch them. In Matthew's account, in the 19th chapter of Matthew, it says not only, he stretched it out a little bit. He expanded it. Not only did they bring them for Jesus to touch them, but they brought them so that Jesus could pray for them. Now, I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, the reality that Jesus prays for us. And I wonder if you've had opportunity to just sit and meditate on that. Because if you had, that has got to be an encouragement to you. The idea, the fact that our mighty Savior prays for us, you can't get a much purer prayer. You can't get a prayer that is more precise in what it is that we need. Jesus prays for us. And how great is it that we can bring our families, our children, to the Lord. And while we pray for them, we can have every confidence that He prays for them as well. The children that are mentioned here are likely infants, or at least very small children. And the parents wanted the blessing of God on the lives of those kids. The children themselves were certainly too young to understand any kind of deep teaching. And there's certainly no evidence here that they were ailing. They weren't coming to the Lord for some type of physical healing. And we know they were small because the passage concludes with the Lord taking them up into his arms and holding. They brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. You know, not all adults want to see the children brought to Christ. Too many adults have the persuasion that, you know, it's just not that important. That, you know, let them grow, let them do their thing, and that they can choose for themselves once they've grown if they want to be involved. The Lord Jesus. Or some may just stand back and say, look, I really don't want these kids getting too religious. I don't want them being too involved in the things of the church. That attitude is tragic, at the very least. but it's very human. It's the expression of a carnal mind, one that is not in tune with the Lord. But here, in this passage that we're looking at this morning, it's the disciples who are acting as gatekeepers. It's the disciples that are saying, hey, back off, man. Back off. Jesus is a very busy man. You know, he's involved in the teaching. He's contending with the Pharisees who, you know, they have, you know, a burr under their saddle. They're fighting with him. You know, let Jesus concentrate on the important things. Don't be bringing these kids up here. These guys were disciples, for pity's sake. They were disciples. But you know what? Even being disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus' work was about. They labored alongside the Lord. They prayed with him. They supped with him. They slept with him. But even when it was all said and done, they never got it. It was the work of the Holy Spirit after Christ's resurrection that got it, made it clear to them, that made their calling true and fortified them to go out and be about the Lord's business. They never were quite clear. Jesus taught about the kingdom. And these Jewish fellows had familiarity with the coming Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was going to come set up a kingdom. They were kind of locked into that idea that this kingdom was going to be a temporal one, that when Messiah came, kingdom was going to be set up, and they believed Jesus to be the Messiah, that they were going to be a part of that kingdom. They were going to have, you know, dominion over so many cities or whatever. They were going to be part of the leadership. They just, you know, never got it. But by the same token, here they are sitting thinking that that's going to happen, and they want to be careful about who they let into the Lord's presence. They want to hold back. And so they rebuke not the children. They're not rebuking the little ones. They're rebuking the people who brought the little ones to Jesus. I wonder if you've ever had a task, if you've ever had a job to do and you had helpers, and the helpers weren't exactly on the same page as you. And it seems that the harder you work to accomplish the task, the harder they worked to see to it you didn't. You're taking 3 steps forward, they're pushing you 4 steps back. You labor to go on, and they say, no, not yet, not yet. Well, Jesus saw what the disciples were doing. Jesus was looking at opportunity to minister. That's why he was here. He was here to seek and save those that were lost. He was here to minister to people. And he sees his chosen men pushing people away. And it says he was greatly displeased. He was ticked off. He was aggravated. He became indignant with his disciples. I have no doubt that he shot those guys a look. You know, they say if looks could kill, Jesus shot one of those at his disciples. What do you think you're doing? It's It's frustrating. You labor and labor to try and accomplish a goal, to try and bring people to the Lord, to try and do something, and people who are supposed to be on your side are fighting you and saying, don't do it. Jesus, give them a look. He wanted to minister to those children. But not only did he want to minister to those children, Jesus wanted to take advantage of this situation and teach a bigger lesson. He says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. He's saying that the kingdom of God is made up of this very kind of people. He didn't mean that only small children are in his kingdom. I mean, if that were the case, let's go home. We'll leave the kids and we'll just go home because, you know, there's no hope for us. That's not what he meant, of course, that only children, only small kids are in his kingdom. This lesson that he's teaching, this is a lesson not necessarily to children. It's a lesson to grown-ups. It's about grown-ups. Jesus is addressing the temperament, the spirit of the people. This is who he's talking to. We know, from a theological standpoint, that a child is conceived and born in sin. They are totally depraved at birth. But when a child is born, what is it that they know? This is not a hard answer. When a child is born, they know absolutely nothing. They know nothing intellectually. They come into this world, as it were, with a clean slate or, you know, an empty hard drive. It requires that data be put in. It requires that you write on that slate, that you mold them, that you educate them, that you give them proper direction. And you know what? For the most part, unless they've been abused in some way, children do what they're told. They believe that what it is you're telling them is right. They have faith in you. They trust you. Why would you tell them something wrong? That is why it's not because we're mean people. But we don't teach our kids Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy, because it's a lie. And our children look at us, they have faith in us, they believe we'll tell them the truth. Why do we lie to them? Why spend so many years, so many young, formative years, pressing into their minds that a fat man with a beard drops through a chimney on Christmas Eve and brings presents? It's a lie. It's stupid. You remember back at Christmas when I talked about this, I told you basically the impossibility of it being able to happen. But children don't understand that. Children believe what we tell them. It's important that they understand that all gifts are from God. That God often uses people to bring gifts, to provide food and shelter. But it's God who is the giver of all good things. You see, little children are simple. We can tell them these things. They don't question it. They just, okay. One of the terrible things about growing up is that people become captivated by the complex. We like things that have a lot of factors to them, you know? The Rube Goldberg kind of a thing. You know, we like to see all the gizmos, all the things that have to happen in order to make, you know, this thing get accomplished. You know who Rube Goldberg is? Google him. See? Couldn't do that 40 years ago. It's a complex thing. We've grown some. And in some ways to the better, some ways not so much. But simple things don't seem to satisfy us as much. We're looking for detail. We're looking for other things to be involved. In some areas of life, that's probably a good thing. You know, you go to buy a car, you don't want to be too simple about buying a car. It may look really pretty, but if it has no engine, not so much. You know, we want to pay attention to some details in some places. But when it comes to matters of the Christian faith, we've got to know our limitations. We've got to know that God doesn't tell us everything. That He basically requires of us a simple faith. God doesn't give us answers for everything. Paul said to the Corinthians, his second letter, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We take God at His word, even if we don't understand it. That's sometimes easier said than done because of our nature. We want to know things. Now, we're not to be mindless. We are, in fact, to increase our knowledge. God didn't give us His word. He didn't give us His book just to have something nice to carry with us on Sunday, or just to have something nice to put on the shelf at home during the week. He wants us to read it. He wants us to study it because it contains what He has to say to us. Again, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, don't be children in understanding, but in malice, in wickedness, be children. Don't be so complex. Be simple. Don't grow in those things. We fall short when we come into situations and we say, well, why did God do this? Because God doesn't give us answers for everything. The standard answer to why did God is because He's God. And our faith says that God is not some cosmic sadist that enjoys our pain. God does things for our benefit and for His glory. If God, in eternity past, called you to be his child. He knew and ordained the things that would occur in your life, in the progression, in the growth of you as his child. And he knew that one day you would enjoy a nice piece of birthday cake. And he knew on another day you would fall and skin your knee. But all of these things are done for your growth and for your benefit and for his glory. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. If you start to try and figure your way into the kingdom of God, you're not going to get there. God gives us a simple truth. Jesus did the work. Our faith is in that work. Our faith is in the risen Christ. That's a very simple thing. It's not complicated. It may sometimes be hard because we want to overthink. But it's the simple truth that God calls us to have faith in. The finished work of Christ is all that we need for our salvation. That's it. Our faith is in that work. And if we don't have that, we can't be part of the kingdom of God. We can't be. There's no possibility. We are saved by grace. And our faith is in that work of Christ. There is a blessing. I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. But then, and he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. When we come to Christ as children, in the simplicity that kind of insinuates, when our faith is totally in Christ alone, we come to God as his child. He takes us in his arms. He surrounds us with his love. He prays for us. And he blesses us. We can ask for no more than that. We can desire no more than that. God loves his people. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our big brother. He watches out for us. He cares for us. Not only as adults should we be racing to his arms, we should in no way hinder our children from coming to the Savior. Let's pray.